Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight, man, I'm excited. What we're going to dig into tonight is going to be a little controversial, and I'm sure it is. But before we get into it, I definitely want to cover the show. Let me give you the title of tonight's topic. It's Why Are Business Ethics Important? The part that I left out with a twist, or is it? This is the music industry. We want to dig in tonight to find out what your thoughts are. But before we get into it, let's go ahead and cover the show like we always do. Lord, let us be mindful and respectful for who you are, the authority that you have granted upon us as we enter this industry that we so desire to be in. Lord, we ask that you bless every ear and every mind that is tuned in, locked and loaded to Hip Hop National, to come in and often hear a word of advice in this industry. Lord, we ask that they be mindful and respectful, that they can learn from it enough where they can learn for to each one, teach one. Maybe they can be able to teach 10 and spread the word abroad. That's what the program is about. And, Lord, we ask that you bless them in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen. Tonight, guys, we talk about why are business ethics important. And as I said, I'm going to twist it up a little bit. Or is it? This is the music industry. It's no secret that a lot of people have gotten their pathway through some not-so-upstanding tactics. Tonight, I want to talk about it. I want to reach down deep. If you're listening in from any device, it's time to call in now. 3559-2995. Again, it's 213-559-2995. Press the number 1. That'll allow us to know that you want to be a part of tonight's topic. Raw Dog, welcome to the show, sir. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I didn't push the number 1. Darn it, you found me. No, hey. You know, hey.
Well, I know your number.
Yeah, I know. You know, I think that, you know, business ethics, you know, is it the music industry or is it just mankind? I think it's just mankind. I don't think it pertains to the music industry totally because, you know, that phrase, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And, you know, hey, you start to think of it, and that's not in the music industry. That's everyday conversation, you know. And America eats its own, you know. Hey, I think it's a mentality when it comes to the almighty dollar. You know, people worship that. In God we trust is on the dollar. But, in fact, God is not in the dollar. And so, you know, I think they've got it twisted. I think that the business ethics, those that succeed and are successful, you know, basically word is bond. They follow through, you know, and then you can rely on them, you know, and that's in any walk of life, you know. And in the music industry, it, you know, things in black and white, you know. You've got both sides of the coin. Who do you trust, the promoter, or do you trust the people putting on the performance, the entertainers, the show? Who gets the upper slap to say you're the one that is the reliable individual? You know, music contracts. You get 50% when you sign, and you get the other 50% before you go and you perform on stage. So you're paid in advance, you know. business practices in the past made the contracts that way, because a lot of the artists that performed found out that, you know, there were promoters that fell short on fulfilling the contract with the money that they had promised. So, you know, it's a lot of twists in this game. And, you know, I think we'll hash it over and we'll get more out through this whole conversation this evening.
Okay. I want to throw you a question right now. Do you think it's business ethics is a matter of one's morality, a business practice? Is it something that they end up as a result of just default doing the wrong thing because they've been doing it so long?
Well,
how do you differentiate?
Well, you know, hey, we've heard about, you know, the shady ones rising to the top, you know, and one that I can think of that is not in the music industry was in the fight game.
Okay.
I won't say his name, but if I'm not mistaken, he still owes money to Foreman and Ali for promotion of a couple of fights. You know, the thing about it is this, you know, you live and die by the sword. You know, I was always taught your word is your bond. Your signature on the contract is something that you follow through and you handle. You know, there are always issues that come up that might make it harder to handle, but, you know, you've got to have a good business ethics, because if you, how do the younger people say, if you burn people and you scheme and you do a lot of other things that are negative and not a business practice wise, make promises or take money and don't do the job, you know, karma is something that the young folks, I don't hear many of them speak on. What goes around comes back around, and it bites you at the time that you least need that ripple in your life, you know, and they don't realize it happens that way, you know. So when we sit back and we talk about it, you know, I think it turns into a character thing. It turns into a spiritual thing, you know, and so when you start talking about the shadow you cast, is it sinister or is it upright and godly? You know, yeah, I mean, there are so many ways to look at it and so many ways to approach that, you know.
Okay.
What do you think?
Let's take a look at pretty much what being ethical means. Ethical is a professional communication that relies on honesty. This includes giving credit to appropriate sources and admitting to mistakes. It's an act of morality. The reason why I wanted to go there, because you can speak the word all day long, but if a person don't know what it means, they never know when they're jeopardizing themselves a certain venue or act, because they're not really looking at what they're doing. They're not looking at what they're doing. They need to know their practice, why they're doing something, and what it looked like to others. If you're not communicating on a professional level when you're doing professional business, it starts to look on the outside that you're doing shady business.
Well,
you agree?
You're right. And, you know, you remember what they used to call people that were found out and corrupt and had bad business practices? You remember what list they used to put them on?
the blackness.
Right.
They blacklist.
Or, you know, if you're in the neighborhood, it's the S list. We won't say the whole word. But people actually write names down of people that default upon agreements and arrangements. And they no longer, and they pass that word along. And, you know, we talked about burning bridges, but once your reputation is tarnished, you can't get a nod of being okay and, you know, having good business practices, you know. So there is a blacklist, and it is passed around, and there are conversations that about different artists saying, well, they're just shaky, you know. Being the music program director here at Hip Hop National, I've ran into, let's put it like this, janky artists that claim they want and claim that they're going to follow through, and it's all a lie. You know, and you talk about the music industry and you talk about, you know, business ethics. You know, we bend over backwards here for the artists. We do more for them when they want to promote themselves. And, you know, it's funny because I'm looking at it and I'm going, wait a minute. Is it the guys that have less business ethics than the females? Because I've had promises on both sides, and, you know, the guys come through, but I hate to say this, the women are even more shakier than the guys when it comes to follow through. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that, you know. and I don't know how to explain that one. It, you know, is it that they're not strong enough to follow through their word, or do they think it's a sweet voice that's going to carry the sound and just mesmerize so that we forget about doing business in promoting their song and what have you? Or do they think that they're that charismatic that all they have to do is ask and everybody's going to open doors for them? I've been wondering about that. Oh, did I start a subject that you don't want to touch on, Poetic? The men's ethics versus the female?
Now you finish it.
Yeah. I hate to say it. But, you know, hey, look at the scale, and what do you think? But before you say that, hold on just 1 second. Caller, okay. 407-910. Who am I talking to, and what do you have to input on this? Where are you calling from?
Well, this is G-Money Green out of Polk County. And it's a pleasure, man. I haven't been on this call for the first time. My boy actually reached out to me on Facebook and told me about this call here. And you guys are doing an amazing job, by the way. By listening to the call. But what I have to say about that, I mean, everything that you guys were saying definitely make a lot of sense. But in the way, as far as a lot of people, when it comes down to the music industry itself, as you mentioned, you know, some people don't really have, they don't think of it as a being a business, as it should be a business, or to run it as a business, because they don't have the business mentality. They don't have the business mind. You know, they just want to come into it and use this platform as the same way that they're using the street platform. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense. But in the same way, you cannot
thing. I don't know if you broke up, but what'd you say? They want to use it as they do what?
They want to use it as the same way that they're using the street platform. Like, they just want to you know, in the street, if you need nowadays, if you need anything that you really need in the street, you could pay for it, and you can get it.
Yeah.
But in the music industry, it's different, and you and I know. I mean, all of us know it's different. It's something that, You actually has to be invited into it to begin. Somebody has to be, most of the people that you see that get put on is because they know somebody that, you know, that they know that they know that put them on. But at the same time, so that's why most of these people that come into the music industry and they just think that they could just come and spend all the money and so forth and not really go and build bridges with all the people, because they think that as long as I got money, I can spend money. It comes down to it. So if you can't, they don't keep their word, like you said, you know. Back in the days, everybody, your word is born. When you say you're going to do something, you actually go out and do it. You follow through. Because at the end of the day, my father always say, a man, your word is what you have. That's all you have. Because, you know, that's all you have at the end. That's all you have. People are always going to remember you as a person that they always lie, they always don't follow through with what they say, or as someone that actually do everything that they say, and somebody could depend on you. If you're not dependable, if you're not a dependable person in this music industry, you would not be able to do it. Because if any time somebody reach out to you and they say, okay, I have a show here, you know, can you come, and you don't show up or don't show up on time or don't do what you're supposed to do, of course, that person going to talk about, I mean, you, because you're doing something bad. Anytime, I mean, everybody knows that. When it comes down to anytime something bad happened to anybody and they start talking about it, bad, anything bad spread out faster than something good.
That's real.
It spread out faster than something good. So that's what I want to add on to that. And, you know, I mean, as far as this is a great topic, guys, and y'all doing an amazing job. And I'm just going to listen in and keep listening. I mean, I may have
actually want you to stay right there, because I do have I have to ask a question. And I wanted to get your take before you hang up, okay? Now,
my question is,
the industry of music has no doubt there's profanity in just about every song today. The bleats are all over the airwaves right now because of the language content, the positive, and then let's say Hip Hop National. That's what we do. We push a positive message. Now,
right.
At the same time, I'm a Christian that does hip-hop, which I'm the CEO of the program. But at the same time, hip-hop has always been what it is. Hip-hop has always been very expressive, over the edge, over the top. But, okay, I'll go there with this question here first.
Mm-hmm.
Could we be traveling up the wrong lane to try to turn hip-hop to a positive message today? I'm going to get it from your take.
Okay, from my take, I mean, I will say, you know, I mean, you have, I mean, you know, I will say, this is my answer. Because in hip-hop, always been this way. You always have some people that, of course, with their environment, the way that they brought up, what they saw, okay, where they live, that's how they express themselves. But you also going to have some people that, you know, I mean, I agree with you to a certain extent that it could be a little bit more positive. You know, we could go back. It could be a little bit more positive. We could try to be a little bit more positive. But you cannot talk to somebody, and I don't want to name names of, you know, artists that's out there, but you cannot talk to somebody that came up to of a environment that was all they saw was the negative. You see, you're a product of your environment. So when they saw negative stuff, there's no way that this person could actually talk about something positive. Now, they could do it, but they're not going to force their mind, you know, to go that far. They're not going to push their mind to go that far. But in the same time, but most of the time, when they come out, they just, you know, talk about what they saw, what they live, or some people just lie, you know, and just talk about somebody else's lies and use all the wrong words to describe whatever they're trying to describe. And in the same time, if you think about it, the English language has so many words that you could actually use at certain times. You don't really have to use that bad word. You could change it up to so many words. I mean, I think I read in the book somewhere there's 90,000 words that you could actually, that the English words have. And most people they don't even use half of that in their lives or in a daily basis. They use the wrong words. But it could be that. But in the same time, we need to go there. But we need more of that positive and positive, you know, because, again, but that's why, and the labels are not helping out either, okay? Because if the labels, if they're the one that could say, you know what, we're going to go this route. If you make a song and you have, I got to beep it this many times, we're not going to play it. You see what I'm saying? Which I think they do that now, you know, but they don't do it. They don't have that anywhere written down that tell the artist, you know what, you got to keep it at this level. You can only say this many words, it just said that many words, but so we can't beep it that many times. But when it comes down to it, it has to go back, because whatever that these labels will actually tell this artist to do, at first they're probably going to be like, I ain't going to do it. But once they know it's going to hurt their pocket, they're going to do it. Once they know it will hurt their pocket, they will do it.
So what you just said is something I'm going to lean on another question after. I want to get your take on what he just said, Raw Dog. And then I got another question to follow up about hitting the pocket. Go ahead, Raw Dog.
Well, you know, it turns into this type of thing, you know. Sell your soul for a dollar bill. Okay. And the environment. You know, there have been a lot of males that have gone to prison that while they were there, they studied. They brought their mind to a different level. And when they came out, they became productive people, not living in the lifestyle as they grew up. You know, I hate to say it like this, but, you know, the youth have gone through hell in some families because of the contra crack cocaine situation that America faced. You know, and they lived in a family or in a they were raised in an environment where it just didn't seem that the elders cared. You know, they raised each other. And, you know, that's a tragedy because of the fact that they have a locker room mentality. When I say a locker room mentality, meaning that, you know, cursing is a normal, everyday, 24/7 out of someone's mouth, okay? And, you know, when I came up, you know, you were kind of cool if you used a curse word every now and then. But it's more that is the way that they talk to each other in a normal fashion. Well, pardon?
I said it seems to be common language today.
Well, yeah, but that cycle is being broken. Because once they have children, they are changing how they look at the hardness in life. Because what happens is that they become bigger individuals, a majority of them. I'm not saying all of them, but a majority of them, because they want more for their child than they've achieved for themselves. You know, so there is a turnaround. And in this turnaround, the music industry has an obligation, I believe, to bring back a normality of what is expected in music. Not all the profanity and the shock and the booty twerking and all of that, but to bring back the pleasure, the enjoyment, the depth of the creativity in the artist that you know to be displayed in a product. See, I believe that's coming back, or at least I have hope of it coming back, and I see it more and more because I'm seeing that there. Those that are using explicit language and what have you, they're selling for nickels and dimes and quarters, their product. They're not getting top shelf prices anymore. You know, they've
you
actually...
Know.
Pardon?
No, I was about to say, what you do know, it's easier to copy. Copycats is so much easier for a lot of people instead of them trying to, you know, create something new themselves. That's why.
Well, yeah, you know what we call them here at Hip Hop National? We call them Elvis impersonators.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, see, you know, that's that. When I introduced that term, Elvis impersonators, the CEO, Poetic, here, he just kind of went, what? And then it dawned on him that there was an era when Elvis was on top, and there were so many people that were trying to impersonate him in their acts when they performed for people in clubs and what have you, because they did cover songs of Elvis. So they were trying to impersonate him. The same as a lot of the artists. They're not being original. They're
right.
Going into trying to be a Drake or a Chris Brown, you know, and there was even the Michael Jackson impersonators for a long time, you know, and they wouldn't come out and sing, they'd come out and dance. But, you know, that's flattery in a way to the artists that were the original that they're trying to impersonate. But that doesn't get them a name, that necessarily. That doesn't get them, you know, the notoriety. Now, you know, there have been a lot of people that came along that tried to impersonate. They were great impersonators, but they did more than one character. They did more than one artist they could imitate. So that put them on top of that. But, you know, getting back to the subject, the ethics, see, there's the catch to it. You know, I think the camel's back has been broken by all the explicit lyrics. And I just talking to people, when they describe hip-hop nowadays, they're saying it's going back into the R&B side with the rap lyrics. The music of it, you know, and so, you know, artists today, I think the music industry is burnt out on wannabes and claim-to-bes and those that aren't doing business, you know, and I guess that's why they've got a lot of showcases nowadays that artists are having to pay $25 to appear. You know, and I think that's a shame because I don't know any other genre that an artist has to pay to perform in front of the public.
Exactly.
You know?
Let me ask something, if I could ask something, because I'm about to get
off
a little because I got to get another business conference call. But this is what I say to that, because as far as even though I'm pretty, you know, as far as age-wise, I'm pretty young, but I've been around as far as the music for a long time, and my family has been around music for a long time. This is something that we were talking about. We had a conversation one time. He said, what happened in the music industry, especially when it comes to hip-hop, is that these guys nowadays that's coming out, they don't have any mentor, okay? Back in the 60s, 70s, of course, when you go back, I mean, all the way to the Good Sound or Motown and so forth, they have mentors. Before artists actually do come out, the artists had to go to a school for years and years of getting mentored by someone else that was already there, that's already made it. They're getting that coach and mentor. So they know how, you know, when they're doing an interview, how to stand, how to speak, how to dance, how to sing, how to do whatever that talent was. But nowadays, there's none of that. Artists come out today, he has a hot song, you put on YouTube or wherever, and they get a million views, then boom, labels, A&R start calling them and so forth. Now, this guy is from the hood, never see no 20,000, 50,000, no type of money like that to begin with. So they don't worry about no mentoring or be under somebody's label for a year to get coaching and to learn the business, to study the business of the music business. They just want to sign and get that cash and put them on the road. And that's how the labels are looking at it. They don't have any more mentors and coaches. to coach them how to do it. So they just going about what they know how to do best.
You sound like you're speaking more of artist development. It's not there in place.
It's not. Exactly. The mentor. Exactly. The artist development. Exactly. That's what I said. It falls into the coaching and the mentor that has to be done within that itself. But it's not happening most of the time. You don't have that. You don't have them, these labels, no more, because once the artists come out, they song hot a few months before you know it, the label picked them up. You know, unsigned artists, they picked them up. The song is hot, and a lot of people is requesting for the song, and they put them out. So it's
too
more about making
about leaving, because I really wanted to ask you about hitting the pocket thing, what you was talking about. But I know you got to go.
No. You could ask me one more question, because my call starts at 8:45. So,
all right. So I'm about to extend. Usually we go to break here, but I'm going to go ahead and extend it because I do want to get your take on it. Hitting the pocket. Are we hitting our own pockets today with going the way of the trend of where hip hop is going today, the music wise, as in the sense of we are following, Raw Dogg says, the organ grinder. There's no originality anymore. We're following the trend of what everybody else is doing. Now music is getting to the point that it's so bleeped out on the airwaves that people, let's say people who do business, such as me personally, I strive towards a McDonald's. I strive towards Starbucks because I see these people. They put on big events for their companies, for their employees, and to entertain them. They have an entertainment deal for them to come out and people perform. But the question is, are we hitting our own pockets, not being able to perform on those stages because they can't trust what's going to come out of our mouth? We're getting a stigma in this industry. Do you agree or not agree? And tell
me why. I agree with that. I agree because, okay, let's say for those companies, those industry, the company that you just mentioned, what they're going to do basically, if you were to get into as far as talk to someone, promoters trying to get in, they're going to look at your art of work. They're going to look at what you have done before. And most of us, most of these, you know, artists that's out there, they probably have, at least one or two songs that's kind of like positive, but the rest of them is probably going to be something negative, something that they're talking about that's, you know, don't make no sense or whatever, so forth. So these promoters, they're going to look at your art of work or what you have done and how you have done it. And now they're going to look at it also. They're going to go back because most of these other artists that's already done something negative or talk about whatever they need to talk about. So that's definitely going to hurt your pocket in a long way. Even though that you could be the most talented person, you could do everything yourself, but it's still going to hurt you. You could still do it, but you're going to have to do a little bit more convincing. You're going to have to convince whoever that person that you're talking to, listen, I'm not them. I'm me. This is what I do. This is my product. So you could listen to mine, and you could see that it's not like that you're hearing out there. Mine is different. You can still do it.
I agree with what you're saying, but my point is, do you think rap is in general getting a stigma where they can't trust what's going to come out of our mouth next? And because I see that in certain venues, they are literally saying, oh, you do hip-hop? Well, we don't want that here. Because their thing is they believe that it's going to bring a certain crowd,
something negative,
negativity,
right,
to their club,
right,
or their venue. I'm wondering, are we hitting and hurting our pocket if that's how they beginning to look at the whole, us as a whole? I'm not talking about as an individual artist, but as a whole.
Definitely, yeah. I agree with that 150%. Definitely. All of us are hurting our pockets because of that. But it just, again, it is definitely, I mean, we could change it. We could work towards changing that also, but it's got to be done within us, within all of us. But that I mean, as you're saying, but it got to a point that you're gonna have, you know, you could also, the way that you, because any negative, you could always, you know, there's a positive side of it. What you have to do, you're gonna have to start doing some, you know, like they're saying, like that gentleman I mean earlier mentioned, I forgot his name. You know, is going more towards
that's
the R&B.
That's
so even Rod Dog. Okay. Yeah. And Rod, nice to meet you, man.
Hey,
my name is G-Money.
I know
Green.
You're gonna be here for just a second. So just let me include this caller too. 706-324. Please state your name, where you're calling in from.
This is Nasi. I am calling from Columbus, Georgia.
Nasi. I know you've been locked and loaded to the program. What you think about G Money tonight? G Money made some interesting points, don't you think?
He did. I wanted to touch real quick on us hurting our pockets as far as the state of hip hop. To be honest, and nobody really likes to talk about this anymore, but I'm just going to be straightforward with everybody. A lot of cases, it's not so much that we're hurting our pockets by what the mainstream hip-hop is doing. A lot of times they use that as an excuse to keep black people and black affairs out of their venue. Now, I'm not saying that the state of hip-hop is helping, but think about it. When has the state of hip-hop ever helped get us into a venue? Ever?
Well,
there has not been one point of time where the general census is that hip-hop is in a good state, unless you are a hip-hop lover.
Well, let's put it like this. G-Money, hey, you know, I got much love for you. This is Rada. But I got to say this. When gangster rap came in, I think that was the turning point, because that was when they were talking about being strapped and carrying their nines and anybody stepped to me and what have you. And then you started having incidents of people dying at these events, or gunfire breaking out. Now,
that's
I'm not
true.
Saying that that hasn't happened in the past in other venues or genres of music, but it seemed to happen more frequently with hip-hop and the artists that they were bringing in. Yeah, you got to remember, there were some hip-hop groups that represented different gangs.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that point, how can someone that is liking what they're doing showing up to an event and everybody's wearing blue and they walk in with all red on? You see?
Well, like I said, it's not really helping the state, and I'm not saying it doesn't hurt it either, but what I am saying is that there are certain people in certain groups who will just never like the state of hip-hop no matter what we do. Now, I think that we as people and as a community, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Instead of allowing these young mothers who are already in a off mind state on their own that listen to people like Waka Flocka and Gucci Mane and Jeezy and all these other people, if you as a person in that child's life step in and intervene and become, like the other caller said before, a mentor to this child, whether they listen to hip-hop or not, you can alter the state of not just hip-hop and music, but of the entire world as we know it. We as a people can actually change everything that is now by starting with the kids. And I think that if we want to stop hurting our pockets and we want to change the state of hip-hop and we want to work on our business ethics, I think we start with them, because a lot of these people out here that are in the clubs all the time and that listen to the radio like that, they're already gone. I've had deep, intelligent conversations with some of these people that just flew over their heads. Why? Because they don't understand half of what I'm saying.
You know what? You're very intelligent, but I'm going to give you a scenario. I'm going to, you know, I don't remember anybody getting shot at James Brown concert.
That's true.
But I do remember that there have been several incidents that people that sampled James Brown's music and put the lyrics in tones of that I won't put up with this, and if you run in my face, yeah, hey, I've got something for you. You know, just lyrics that demonstrate the alpha dog. You know, I'm not going to let you do this to me, disrespect, what, you know, that type of thing. When you start putting those words out there, just walking through a room, a crowded place, and you might step on somebody's foot, you're going to get the wrong reaction. Because those things are subliminal. See, I hear what you're saying. I don't think there's anything wrong with hip-hop. I think what the people that are doing it don't realize the words go to the brain, and it affects people in their attitudes or their reactions. And so what you have is a powder keg that the fuse isn't lit, but anything can set it off. And there's the issue. You know, you don't hear that in country western music. You don't hear that in R&B, but you do hear it when it comes to hip-hop. Or they start talking about the haters. You know, there's so many ways of setting a hostile atmosphere that will trigger the reactions of those that are throwing the event, that it's so costly for the insurance bond, for the security, and all those things to throw a venue, that it actually, the artists hurt themselves. You know, they hurt themselves because of the fact they don't realize that there are people that the words are impressionable, that the words are reactive, that the words set a mood. You know, think about it. Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing. I don't ever recall hearing anybody fight during that song.
Not that kind of fighting, at least.
Maybe over their girlfriend, you know. Hey, man, I'm saying it's my girlfriend.
Well, what about Teddy Pendergrass? Turn off the lights. You know, I don't remember anybody fighting over that one either.
Hey, you can't turn off the lights only with me, man, not with you, brother.
Yeah, but see, there you go. You're influenced by hip-hop. You see what I'm saying? You're influenced by hip-hop. Not with you. Yeah, hey. Okay.
I can't say that. I was just making jokes.
You never know. They turn off the light nowadays. You might get stabbed, man.
Well, okay, but now think about it. Beyonce put a ring on it. How impressionable was that? That motivates more relationships to be solid. I'm glad she came out with that song, because let's have more solid relationships than just hit and run. And what do they call the women that you got on the side? I forget the word, the new word. God.
Sidekick.
There you go. So what you know? So I think hip hop has got a chance, but it's up to the artists. It's up to the Poetic, myself, to restrict the airways from being polluted with negative thoughts. You know, like road rage. You know, I can remember when the road rage situation, you know, and you kind of say, well, where did that come from? If you have hostility just running through your ears all day, And hey, if you step to me, I'll do this. You better back off. You know, I'm not the one. What do you get out of all of that? You don't get a peaceful mind. You know, and
well, I say something wrong though.
Sure.
I really think you said something that touched, and you know, don't get me wrong. You know, I have to come another angle because I have to also think of how artists think of. And many of them, what you just said is somewhat like something called censorship.
Yeah.
And you said it takes us to restrict the airwaves. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. Freedom of speech is there. But it comes to a point, ethically, we should restrict that from our own behalf more than
exactly.
Have an authority say, no, you can't do that.
It
exactly. From a moral standpoint, that we should know that we're raising our children a certain way, and we don't want our children to speak a certain way, so why are we telling them to by doing it ourselves? We don't want our children to act a certain way. Why are we doing it if we don't want them to do it? It comes
well,
to a point
censorship
starts at home.
Yeah, but there's the catch. There's the catch to this whole thing. Just say no. That's it. You know, I understand. I said by censoring. And I agree, but guess what? I got to say this, and I know that people are going to disagree with me and what have you, but guess what? Love me because I stand for something. Yeah, I'm going to restrict it. Because I'm going to look out for your kids. I'm going to look out for their kids. Now, if you want to open the door for the other things, then you can do that. But it's not coming by my way. That's just
exactly.
The way I am. I'm the guard
exactly.
At the door.
If I can just add something with it, this is G-Money. Let me just add something. I mean, not to defend most of these artists that's out, but I know a few artists, of course, that got deals that's in the industry. Sometimes it goes down to like this. These artists, they trying to make songs like that. They're trying to make some positive songs. But when they take
but
it to
the label
say no. They want to let them. They say, no, we need this. We need some of this. We need more of that. We need more of this. We don't need this that you have right there. We don't need that. We don't need to hear this. We need to hear more of that. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so
then,
when it comes down to it. Go ahead.
Well, then I think the answer to that question is, and this kind of goes back to the last week's conversation, if you decide that you want to be signed, you need to look into what exactly being signed means. When you sign yourself to a label, an actual industry label, you sign everything that you do over from that point on. I think that the better way to go about it is to sign to an independent label that is actually making moves, because there are big independent labels out there that aren't industry, that have the money behind them to push you to do this and that and allow you to do albums and this and that. But I think that of course, the industry is the problem, but it's like the chicken before the egg. The industry is the problem only because the industry wants to appeal to what people want to hear. People want to hear what the industry has to give, so you really don't know where to cut the head off at.
I see what you're saying. Does that make sense to you, G-Money?
Definitely. It does make sense. It makes a lot of sense as well. But as far as I want to thank you guys, everybody on the panel, because as far as I got to go, I got to run. But I'll definitely, you know, tune in next time on this call, man, because I do like this conversation, and we do need to have a little bit more of this conversation and a lot more of it, because it is positive. It is something.
Well, it won't be this conversation, but we will be into another hot topic on Monday. Trust that.
Definitely. and as long as I get the invitation, I'll be here. I'll be here definitely. And you guys have, you know, a good weekend, a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you guys soon, hopefully.
All right. God bless you, man.
Bye-bye. You too.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm so glad. And Nasi joined us. Am I pronouncing it right, Nasi?
You are. Nasi,
okay. So
with
glad.
An F.
God, I
Nasi.
Like her voice.
Okay. All right. Nasi. I can tell you like this, you're very deep, and I'm glad G Money had a chance to join us tonight too, because very deep in conversation. I see that you go deep in your thoughts. So, with that said, I'm going to ask you. Now we're hitting our pockets, right?
Yeah.
We're hitting our pockets, as in the sense of the marketing standpoint. Should we continue to go on, or should there be some sort of balance where we do have that little rough side, because for some reason it makes us edgy as people. But then, how about the positive lyrics? What happened to them? What happened to the education of, you know, of rap, where we're kind of educating our people through what we've learned through experience, not just the negative stuff, but also the positive things? What's your thought?
Well, I have a few thoughts on that, but I think that there's ways to be edgy without being borderline disrespectful, and disrespectful at that. I think that a lot of the hip-hop lyrics that are mainstream now are very disrespectful, and I know that there are lyrics out there and lyricists out there from R&B artists to hip-hop artists to poets. I know them all personally, and they are lyricists in their purest form. They're all underground. But I think that we can change the music over. Bob Marley had the song Get Up, Stand Up. It was edgy. It told you, it gave you a sense of pride in who you are while still not allowing people to push you around. But it wasn't disrespectful.
You know what? She said a lot right there, because I'm old school. I don't hear the players' conversation anymore in the lyrics. I hear the more of the thug persuasive in the lyrics. You know, there's no charismatic. How would you put that nudge in their lyrics? They're explicit and raw, whereas you know a player's lyrics are more suggestive and compromising.
Yeah.
We used to be able to convince a lady to come with us rather than telling her you're going to be with me. You know, it's like she said, there's so many other words that these artists could use that would make their song a lot more palatable for the general audience of listeners, rather than just the specific group that want to hear that hardcore, you know.
Exactly.
I don't. You know, my thought is like this: is that you know I can paint a picture in my mind better than they can using explicit lyrics, you know, and it's more pleasing, you know, the picture that I paint than that raw, uncut, just nitty-gritty, okay, with innuendos and curse words. There's no beauty
exactly.
in that.
And I think that goes directly back to today's topic of business ethics. And when I first tuned in, you were talking about the duty to the public to maybe not censor yourself per se, but if you're out there where everybody hears what you say, you should, as a person, as a human being, you should understand that And I don't just say this for mainstream artists. I don't say this just for artists, period. This is something that I live by. Everywhere you go, there is a child watching you. And even when you think children aren't watching you, they are. And they absorb and adapt everything that you do and say. And it's very, very important to conduct yourself either the way... See, I'm a mother, so I take pride in being a mother, and I take pride in the fact that I have the power to control what these young men become. It's my job as a mother of men to make sure that when I am around them, I can get nitty-gritty, don't get me wrong. I can cuss people out when I'm angry. I can flip people off. I'm just as bad as the next. But when my kids are around, when there are people around, there are places and times to act certain ways, I make sure that when my boys are around me, that I conduct myself like a woman that I want to see them bring home. I do not let my kids listen to the radio. I let my kids listen to either my music or I let them listen to old school hip-hop and R&B. I don't let them listen
national.
To anything.
Oh, okay.
I don't really let them... I mean, local radio stuff, the ones that only play five songs back to back. But it's very important for us to realize that no matter what we're doing, and especially in business, no matter what we do, we have a sense of standard that we must hold ourselves to in order for everything to improve around us. I listen to old school hip-hop because a lot of it is, it was written for the purpose of expanding your mind, of making you seek knowledge. And I know I'm kind of going back to last week with this, but last week y'all were talking about somebody said a word and go Google it. I think there's something wrong with the way that he said that. That because he was given the opportunity to educate, he should have came out the mouth and told you. But I still think that as the caller before said, there's 90,000 some odd words in the English language. If you are an artist, why not every now and again throw a word in there? When people ask you, tell them what it means. If they don't know what it is, if they're like me, if they're like the people that I stay around, they will Google it without asking. They will look in the dictionary and find what it is. And then that dictionary definition will bring you to something else that you feel you should look up and learn. And that's what hip-hop should be. It should be a sense of the minority speaking for what they represent, but they shouldn't represent just the streets. The streets don't define you. That's where you come from. It's your knowledge and your wisdom that defines you. And I think that ethically, we have to expand our minds. And by expanding our minds, we have to teach within our lyrics. See, I'm not just I know I told y'all last week, I'm a PR representative for a independent label. But I don't just do that. I am a ghostwriter. I am a graphics designer. I am a poet. I am a hip-hop artist. I do everything because I feel like no matter what I do, I can touch somebody and teach somebody. And that's the most important thing you can do in life.
I just fell in love with you, Nancy. Because you know why? You poetic under the bus because he was the one talking about, go Google it, go Google it. And I thought it was very
rude
for him to do that.
All right, name dropping right here. Yeah. I love a fight, boy. I love a fight. But, hey, we talk about ethics, so we're talking about good fighting.
You threw it right under the bus.
It wasn't. And you're right. I had an opportunity to educate, and I like being thrown under the bus because it only makes me get up and stand up to do the right thing.
and admit to when I'm wrong. And
are
I
you admitting
wrong.
You were wrong?
Absolutely. He loved that. He
oh,
loved
this is
it.
Two
he
shows in
it.
A row.
Hey, can't always be right, can you?
But you turning out wrong more than you right.
All right, got you. We're getting ready to take a quick break, and I want to say this to you, not because I definitely have a question. You mentioned something mm-hmm. about being a mother, and today you said that you're not letting the kids listen to the radio. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with that picture. I say, why? And it's not your fault. This is, as music artists today, they have to think about this. And this is my saying. Music is meant to be heard and not silenced.
Yes.
If you are shielding your kids from it, then they're not doing effectively communicating their job. There is some ethics that they need to uphold themselves to so that they can communicate their music to the next generation and the listeners. Tell me what you think when we come back, because that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to miss our first break. I have to go to a break. I do apologize, but we'll be right back, and I definitely want to hear it, so I'll give you a little time to marinate on that part. We'll be back
okay.
in a minute. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We're talking about why are business ethics important. Then I add it, or is it?
It's time to play. You're ready to go. Ready to go. Radio promo right here on Hip Hop National Radio. That's right. Hip Hop National Radio will help you get the word out about your business,
your music,
or music products. Starting as low as $15 a spot. We aim to meet your advertising needs. We do viral marketing, website development,
website hosting,
internet audio presentation,
voiceovers,
professional beat production,
publicity,
radio and record promotion,
consulting,
corporate identities,
event planning and promoting,
printing, graphic design,
CD pressing
and duplication,
voice on hold,
radio commercial production,
TV commercial production,
video production,
call conversion,
contracts and more. For more details, log on now to www.hiphopnationalradio.com or call 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip-hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from hip-hop national partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and hiphopnational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, before we went to the break, we were talking about the how music is meant to be heard and not silent. And Nazi, she brought up the fact that she has kids, and she kind of want to keep them from that radio because she don't like the messages coming across. Well, if that's the case, us as music artists, are we doing our job effectively? Because our music is not to be silenced. If it's going to be silenced, then we're not getting our message across to the people so that they can buy our product. Now, ethically, you have to think about this. That part of it is ethics, and then also part of it is hitting your pocket when your music is being silenced. All right, we're going to go to Nazi and see what she thinks about it. Then we're going back to Raw Dog. Nazi.
Nazi,
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I feel like, well, there's something wrong with that statement that you just made. I feel personally like if, like you said, if they have to be silenced, their message isn't getting across. I feel personally if I have to silence you, you don't have a message worth telling to me. And I think, honestly, that that means no, the industry isn't doing their job. But as the caller said before, it's sometimes it's not at fault of the artist. If you go back and you listen to Drake Underground, and you go back and you listen to Wale's first album, Attention Deficit, and then you turn around and listen to them now, it is a completely different monster. And I say that simply because of the industry. The industry controls so much of what you do and what you say and what they want you to tell the people that you almost have to change personalities and destroy what ethics you have. So I feel like a lot of the times, by the time they hit the radio, they don't have a message worth telling me. Now, Jay-Z is a very, very, very intelligent man simply because he has a way of giving out his message, an actual message, and it hitting the radio. Everything that he says and everything he does on a track goes straight to radio. Because he's not just an artist, but along with his artist ethics, he has his businessman ethics, and he has his almost thug grinders type attitude about him. Because he has all this put together within himself, he has the ability to stay on the same station as Waka Flocka and Gucci Mane and still have a message. Now, earlier we talked about Beyonce. I always respected Beyonce as an artist, but it wasn't until I actually watched her full life documentary that I actually respected her as a whole person. She is now one of the few women that I look up to in the industry because she has so much power. She's just as powerful. She is a woman, Jay-Z, which is why they're a perfect couple. She has the ability to get on the track and give a message, and that message in itself is so powerful that her saying it and pushing it to all these millions of people that listen to her regularly is just what we need in the industry to change everything over. Now, if we had more artists like Jay-Z and Beyonce playing on the radio, I would have no issue whatsoever letting my kids hear it. But because we don't, I do.
Very good. Very, very good.
What's your thought, sir?
But, you know, hip-hop is like Chuck E. Cheese with a stripper pole in it.
What?
I mean, hip-hop at times is like Chuck E. Cheese with a stripper pole. You know,
I'm going to down on that.
That's an oxymoron, man. Come on.
But no, but that's what she's saying. In other words, what she's saying, it looks good from the outside, but she can't trust the possibilities.
Exactly.
You see, you know, I said Chuck E. Cheese with a stripper pole. I didn't say the stripper was on the pole. But if you got a pole, somebody going to be on that pole wrong.
That's true.
Would you want your children to see that?
No.
You know, that's just like they show videos of little young girls twerking. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a little girl twerking.
Exactly.
It to me, that's not allowing her to be a little girl. She's imitating what she's seen adults doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they've even stopped having dances in the public schools because
mm-hmm.
of the lewd dancing. This
That's
is
true.
Brought about by twerking. Now, imagine, is twerk a hip-hop song? You see, there are a lot of things that take the innocence out of a child, and a child is still innocent because she doesn't know what she's doing. She's just imitating.
Twerking was a like pop song. It was not
okay.
But it's not
but
just
hip-hop.
But pop
and hip-hop
nowadays are just as powerful. Yeah. I mean,
but
we might be talking about hip-hop because we're on Hip Hop National, but reality, all of it is not just stemming from hip-hop. I mean,
I don't know where twerk came from.
The music training itself is going to a much more vulgar platform. If you can see it in a lot of things. You do see it in those the Grammy Awards, and you see it on TV. You know, you're seeing it more. You see it in all the videos.
Well,
Miley Cyrus is not a hip hop artist,
and she was naked on the ball. You know, the wrecking ball.
Let's talk about videos for a second. Let's just go there for a second. Okay, and then we're going to go about the social media of business ethics. When today, in videos today, the music has already been talked to us about, and I want, you know, it's telling you how they want to see the girl. They want to see the girl with no clothes on. Our children today, not mine, I can't say mine, but our children today is now taking off their clothes. They're pretty much strapless in videos. Now, as a young child, as young in the youth, that's fun and entertaining. But they're going to grow up one day. It's going to come to a point where they will have children. Now, they're seeing their mom half behind naked, or their dad half naked on a show on TV that won't go away. Because that's
and
where
I agree.
Business is going to. Do we have the ethics? I mean, do we have good ethics, period, as far as our morality?
Well,
In music. I'm not talking about just hip-hop.
Well, see, you're living in a metrosexual era.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say what, and I understand not.
702, stay there. We'll be coming to you in a minute. Go ahead, Radaga.
Yeah, and I understand Nasi protecting her children, and I commend you for that. You know, hey, I love to hear that from mothers that are willing to understand that there's a time and a place, and children don't need to see and learn too fast. They'll grow up one day, and then, you know, you'll have to explain everything to them. But
mm-hmm.
until that time comes, don't push that envelope. I hear you, because they're beautiful when they're young. You know, they get messy when they get to be teenagers, but they're beautiful. But, see, that's the catch to it. We as a village, and it takes a village to raise a child, we have to say there is a line. Let's not call it, you know, free speech, because I think that envelope has been pushed to the limit. I think what we need to say is that, hey, there is a restrictive point that we must exercise for our children. Now, you know, I remember there was a time when Red Fox, Pygmy Martin, and Moms Mabley, their records could only be purchased by people that were over 21.
Mm-hmm.
And Mom and Dad and everybody kicked the kids out of the room when they put them on, when they'd have company.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd still hear a little bit. But, you know, the thing about it is that we understood that that's an adult pleasure, entertainment they can indulge in. Not the children. The children don't realize that it's wrong to be, you know, as a little girl of 4, 5, 6, to be twerking in public and dancing like that. She doesn't even realize.
I'm going to interrupt you just for a second, my dog, because I want to include the caller, too, while they're there. 702-475.
Yo, yes.
Please state your name.
Yo, what's poppin'? What's poppin'? You got your boy Fat Man calling in out of Las Vegas. I'm out here in California right now. Big shout out to you guys. I've been knowing about your show for a minute. This and the other. I also do a show with a lot of artists called Unsigned Hype Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Man, what to expound on the gentleman? I'm sorry. What'd you say?
All right. I just want him to finish his thought, and then we're gonna come to you. I just wanted to include you in, Fat Man. Okay.
Go ahead.
I
kind of lost my train of thought, you know. But I just
want to make sure we bring in you know we have to bring him in, Raw Dog. I told you that.
Not an issue. You know, the thing about it is that, you know, it's like people are not respective of another person's house, another person's child. It's all about the almighty dollar, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize that there are protocols to everything, you know, cross-advertising is not allowed. The point of blatantly doing something that is going to promote yourself without asking. You know, things like that, this is what's wrong. It's too grab the bag and run. It's not about being genuine. And so, you know, hey, life is such, but it's not in my house, not on my watch. And I think
right.
We all have to take that responsibility in the music that is heard, and set the bar up higher. They'll come to it because they'll realize there's no other alternatives. Are we wrong? No. Are they right? No. But it can work. It will work if you demand more. If you fall for anything, you're going to get everything and anything in the lyrics. But
and
if you stand for something, you're
going
to get quality.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's where I'm going with the music. Quality. You know, hey, maybe you won't become a star, but you will be recognized for the quality and the standard that you set.
True.
All right, that's all I got to put in.
True. I mean, I feel you. Once again, like I said, my name's Fat Man. Just to give y'all a little background, I work with a lot of teenagers, signed artists, this, that, and the other. I agree with the gentleman that's on the line. I've heard his voice before. It sounds like he's called into my radio show before and expressed himself because his voice sounds very familiar. I agree with him, yeah. It is crazy for little kids to be out here twerking 4 or 5 years old and this, that, and the other. That comes from what they see on television. It starts at home. If mama and daddy and this, that, and the other don't correct the child when the child is doing something that the child don't know what they're doing, then we are wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm old school. I'm like this, you know, being inside the house before the street lights come on type shit. You know what I'm saying? And this, that, and the other, being raised by Big Mama. Things like that there. If Big Mama caught me twerking when I was 4 years old, I wouldn't have a hip right now because Big Mama
mm-hmm.
would tell me, you don't know what you're doing. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So, yeah, it has to start at home. It has to start with the music that you play. My daughter is 4 years old. She don't listen to everything that I listen to. You know what I'm saying? Me and her mother are separated, so I can't govern what's going on in her mother's house and this and the other. All I can do is correct it when it comes to my house and I see it's out of place. Then me and the mother get on the same page and I let her know she is too young to be repeating 2 Chainz. She is too young to be repeating, Nicki Minaj and this, that, and the other and everything like that. And I let her know, yeah, I know I'm in the rap game, been in the rap game for 20-something years, over 20-something years, and interviewed everybody just about. it's a thing of discipline, and it's a thing of being in tune on what's going on in your home, what's going on with your child. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, music is going to be music. Yeah, if we could get these artists to step their game up and everything like that, to be recognized for the music that they created, original music, then yeah, we would be on the right path. But you got too many people trying to emulate what they see. No one is creative anymore. Where is the creative process? Where is the business process? Where is the business mind in all of this? You know, this is one thing that we go over on my show and everything. I try and give a lot of artists knowledge, things like that, you know what I'm saying, so they can go with something, so they can grow with their music. But if you're constantly hearing, or you got somebody constantly telling you, that's hot, and you know damn well it ain't hot, then that comes within your inner circle. So it goes to, you know, you having a mind of your own, you having a set plan of your own. You know what direction you're going in. Can't nobody deter you from that direction. I've done music for years. I just now started putting cuss words in my music. My music was wrote. I could write a clean song in under 10-15 minutes.
Well, can I ask you this? Why you do that, Fat?
Yeah.
Why am I doing that now?
Yeah. Okay, you got to understand. Why am I doing that now? Because of the element that I'm dealing with now, okay? You know, being out here in Las Vegas, you know what I'm saying, doing this unsigned hype radio, doing these mixtapes, I deal with every element that has been created. Gangs, all of it, the whole nine, and this and the other. When you deal with that element, that puts you in a frame of mind. Put you in a different frame of mind. So when you step to that microphone and everything like that, your mind, when you step to that microphone and you got a track that's not a party track, that's not a gospel track, that's a straight-up hood track, it's going to put you in a different frame of mind. So it's going to make me put my point across to where you understand me. Now, beg your pardon?
Well, I feel, I don't knock anybody for anything that they do. Everybody has their own path. I'm going to throw that out there first. But I feel personally that you as an artist, and not just you, but everybody else that's, as you said, in that element, would put your point across a lot better if instead of using vulgar vocabulary, you use something else.
Right, and I agree with you. I agree 100% with you and everything like that. I've had record labels tell me, we like your music, but it's not street enough. Now, just to give y'all a background, I do party music. I represent for the full-figured woman and man. I've been doing that for over some 15-odd years. So if you ever see me on Facebook and I'm putting up BBW for life, that's Big Beautiful Women, okay, and everything. That's what I do. I'm a BHM. I'm a big, handsome man. We got an organization that's over 450,000 members. You know what I'm saying? And these are people that are obese and overweight, all right? This is the group that I'm in. All the music that I create for them is strictly party music, uplifting music, this, that, and the other, and empowerment music. But you got to understand, when I'm out here with these Crips and these Bloods and these Domalus and this, that, and the other and everything like that, and we up in the studio and all of that, yeah, I could come with that sunshine shit, and I could come with the positivity and this, that,
man,
and the other.
Yo,
and
yo,
you're going to feel
yo,
it.
Yo, fat man, be honest, it's my platform. We don't lend it to foul language over the show.
Okay.
So you would.
I apologize.
I do apologize.
And everything. I do apologize. Please
That's
forgive
okay.
me.
That's okay.
And everything.
That's
but
okay.
like I said,
That's
when
okay.
I'm out here recording with these gang members, things like that, because I record with everybody, because I try and help everybody, it's just a different element. I mean, it depends on the person, depends on the mind state, things like that. You know what I'm saying? But it just depends on who you're dealing with and where you're at that point in time.
And
you know what
I
I'm saying?
Agree with that. But at the same time, I'm not saying that because you're trying to reach all these these hood people and this and that, that you should sit there and rap about rainbows and butterflies. I'm saying you can get nitty-gritty without being vulgar, and that's what we were talking about earlier. There's ways to reach the people and reach the streets without doing it in a negative way. You can be positive, but the play on being positive nowadays is that you have to use a salesperson's state of mind and flip your positivity to make them not know that it's positivity. A salesperson's job is to make the customer believe that everything that they suggest is the customer's idea. That's our job as an artist, to sell
ideas
to them.
I told you, I had already fallen in love with her. So you too late.
But now,
here's a question.
And sweetie, you are totally right. You are totally right. It's about the customer, making sure that the customer is happy and everything
okay,
like
but
that.
Okay, but Fat Man, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So let's just say you were working with a bunch of crackheads.
Uh-huh.
You would fall to their level for them to understand your music?
I wouldn't say fall to their level for them to understand my music, but I would speak their language for them to understand what I'm saying.
Okay, but
that don't necessarily mean that I have to put a crack pipe in my mouth for them to feel me. But everybody know, and everybody that has grown up and who's adult, yeah, sometimes you have to say certain things to get attention, to get certain attention.
Okay, but
that's
now,
just
now,
the way
now
society
listen
is.
Listen to this.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you remember Miles Davis?
Yep.
Miles Davis was a heroin addict.
Okay.
And most of his fans were heroin addicts.
Okay.
You had people like Coltrane. He was a heroin addict. His fans were heroin addicts. Now, I'm saying this. To be an artist is like being a king. You have to be able to walk amongst the people, understand them, but then you must lead them to a better point, or they're going to overthrow you, or they're going to look at you just like you them. See, I hear what you're saying.
Not necessarily. I have to disagree with you on that.
Wait a minute now. I hear what you're saying, but see, you don't necessarily have to bend for them to appreciate you.
You can bring light
to the dark by presenting them something that elevates them. Because nobody wants to stay in the same spot.
Right.
I mean, everybody is trying to achieve and move what? Forward.
Right.
So take them forward. It's easier to relate to them, but guess what? You're not going to be able to relate to everyone.
Of course not.
You know what? As a male, I say this because to be a male, you got to stand for something and bring them up around you. And if they're not going to rise with you, you got to leave them alone. All money's not good money.
I understand that. Everybody ain't made to go to the promised land. Everybody's not made to ride the freedom train. I understand where you're coming from.
Are you trying to rise to get to the promised land? I'm not talking about those that you're dealing with. I'm talking about you. Would you sell your soul for a dollar rather than get to the promised land? Because that's exactly what you said when you say, hey, I do this, I work with them, and I got to do this and that and the other. You lead by example, not by falling to the level.
Okay. Well, see, y'all taking it as I'm following. You're taking it as I'm following and this, that, and the other. And actually,
but
more or less.
You said you were. You said you were dealing with them so they would understand you.
Okay. Well, I told you, when I deal with certain groups of people and we're recording certain music, yeah, I get down just like they do. You guys are saying, well, why don't you bring them up and this, that, and the other and everything like that? I do bring them up. I do show them something different. I do take them to the next level, which is radio, putting their music out and this, that, and the other, putting them on shows and letting them know we can't do what we did in the studio. You have to bring your A game and your radio edits and this, that, and the other. It's all
okay.
about interacting. It's interacting
okay.
with your people that you're dealing with and everything
okay,
like that.
Okay, and I'm
that.
Glad you
maybe
brought that out.
About, maybe, okay, that's
no,
fine.
No, no, you,
maybe
you know,
I go
you
about
know what?
It differently.
You gave one side of it. And you didn't say, well, okay, the radio edit and this and that and the other. So you have diversified what they the way they come at it, and you've actually modified it to the point where it's anyone can listen to it.
Of course.
Okay,
I mean,
but you didn't say
of
that.
Course.
See, and
okay,
I didn't
well,
want everybody well, to throw you down in the pit.
Right, right.
Because you
no,
didn't
no, no,
tell
no, no.
that
I,
side
and,
of
and,
it.
And I understand that. I guess maybe what I should have said is I don't stifle nobody's creativity. But once we get into the mix of it and I sit down and I kick the politics to them of, okay, then that's cool. We talking about the hood and this, that, and the other. Let's mix this and mix this down so when I take it to a Jimmy Iovine or take it to an 88.1 or this, that, and the other, it'll be more acceptable to the ear. There's always two edits to a song. There's the street edit, and there's the radio version.
All right. Now, that's
you know
an education.
So,
that's an education.
Yeah.
No, you left it out.
I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate you guys letting me know where I, you know, where I stumbled at and this, that, and the other. But, like I said, it's you know, you sit down with them.
Man, where you
originally you know, you sit
from?
Down with them, and you talk with them and this, that, and the other, and I don't stifle their creativity. I let them get that out and everything. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes down to it and the business aspect of it, then you have to be business. You have to approach it as a business avenue because you're not going to get the recognition that you get. Everybody wants to do a mixtape. There's certain music that you put on a mixtape. There's certain music that you put on your CD. And there's certain music that you send to the radio station.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But me, personally, I'm trying to empower that blood or that crip that's out there making that money and this, that, and the other to take that and flip that into a business to where the business works for him. Because if you're smart enough to get out on the street and make these street sales, then you're smart enough to press up a CD, put that in your trunk, and do the same type of sales.
Right.
You know
but
what I'm saying?
You're hitting three different market zones.
Of course.
The mixtape,
I mean,
the radio, clean edit, and the underground from the trunk. So
right.
marketing-wise, you've given them three products that you will have a fan base that will not object because it's
right.
radio edit clean. Then you'll
right.
have those that are wishing for the explicit lyrics. There's their version. And see, then you've got the mixtape, which is, you know, I don't know if everybody understands, but those are extended lengths, you know, and they're mashed up, you know, so that
right.
they have a different flavor. And so,
right.
you know, just to say, you know, how that side of marketing goes and the business, you're opening up the avenue that if it's worthy, they cannot be stopped.
Right.
And I
but
can appreciate
gotta,
that.
But they got to want it. They got to want it. That's why, that's why I made the statement, everybody is not made to go to the promised land. If you don't want it, you won't get there. It's certain steps to get there. If you don't follow those steps, just like you mentioned, like the announcer mentioned before, protocol. People don't understand protocol. How can you understand protocol if you've never been taught or never been disciplined to get protocol?
Or even heard the word.
Or even heard the word. See, and that's one thing that I talk to a lot of these, you know, I do a lot of talk shows and things like that, and I told them, I'm going back to the basics. I have to go back to the basics with these artists and teach them marketing 101, branding 101, and things like that, stuff that we're already doing. The biggest marketing tool is right there in everybody's face, which is blog, talk, radio, and the Internet. If you don't step your Internet game up, it's cool to slang out the trunk. But if you're not on your Internet game, who's going to know about you?
Right.
Exactly.
If you're not selling yourself, who's going to know about you?
And I think that is the perfect segue to get to the social media that we were going to get to.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to talk about social media today.
Okay.
If us as we represent ourselves as artists, we see ourselves as artists today, but on social media, we're cursing everybody out, sticking our middle finger up, pulling our pants down, and sticking up our whatever.
Right.
It all represents us. It's a part of what we call image.
Mm-hmm.
On a business level, if I want to do business with you, I'm going to search your social media.
Exactly.
I'm going to search to find out what type of person I'm dealing with.
Right.
And nine times out of ten, if the evidence of the person that you exude over in a social media area does not line up with the type of person I want to do business with, nine times out of ten, we won't be doing business.
You're not going to mess with them. You're not even going to talk to them. You're not even going to give them the time of day because of the way they presented themselves. This is what I tell a lot of artists. Watch your presentation.
Yeah.
Watch how you present yourself. I've been a chef.
He left out one in that presentation. I've seen a lot of videos where they had guns. My daddy had a room full of guns, but he never took a picture with one.
Exactly.
I
went on a rant and rave like 2 days ago about that, about people posting pictures. This is what made me flip my switch. I saw a picture of a dude, gave somebody his camera phone, had them take a picture of him as he holds a gun up and peeks out the window. I completely went off on a two-page rant about everything. I touched base on that. I went to drugs. I went to women posting naked but covering their nipples with their arms. I did everything.
y'all gotta realize on these social media sites, especially Facebook, monkey see, monkey do. Okay?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can make a post. I've been making posts. I've been doing toy drives, you know, and this and the other in the neighborhood and making sure these artists learn how to give back to their community. I've been doing that for the last couple of years. Now, I'm blessed and I'm flattered that I sparked the mind of people wanting to do toy drives. There's so many toy drives going on this year. Tell me what's pathetic. Now, my thing is, are you doing the toy drive from the heart, or are you doing it for Facebook recognition?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mine is done from the heart because I live in a community where there's nothing but kids and low income, things like that. So I tried to do something because I remember days waking up on Christmas and it wasn't no Christmas. It was Christmas, but it wasn't any toys. Like I said, I'm old school. We used to wake up, if you couldn't get any toys, you got fruits and nuts and this, that, and the other in your Christmas stocking.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And everything like that. So it's the presentation. People are not presenting themselves right. People are not thinking first. You're not thinking first. So, yeah, you're doing the gun thing. Of course, to expound on that, they putting guns up, all of this weed. They got their own weed page.
Yeah.
To where... You can
that was my next
thing.
Move.
Is,
I
was
think they're
go
doing
to the
things to self-incriminate
the blunt
themselves,
and the smoke.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're doing things that can incriminate them.
Of course they can.
They might get the fame, but then they showing themselves in a field of their own growings.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Now, you know, this is the funny part. They legalized the marijuana in Washington and in Colorado. But most of the artists that post smoking weed in their videos are not in these states.
Exactly.
So, you know, we already talk about how they
don't have a weed card either.
Yeah, and we already talk about how the government is tapping the phone system and what have you. They're also looking at these videos. You know, they have found criminals from these videos posting these videos.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, you know how they say that the way the government has a tracking system. If you say a certain word over the phone, then they automatically start recording what it is that you say. Well,
yeah.
It's the same way with social media. When you
yeah.
type and text and hashtag certain words, not
mm-hmm.
only do they find out exactly who it is that is sending it, but they figure out where your computer is, who
yeah.
all has access to your computer,
yeah.
your social security
yeah.
number, card number, ID number.
Right.
They get everything.
Nothing
on
is private.
And
nothing is private.
And all it takes is for one bad post. And honestly, if the government felt the need, they could make you disappear.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, actually, it's just taking you to log on. You could log on a social site, and they already connected with you. People don't understand. They follow you by your email address.
Right.
They follow you by your password. Everybody's wondering why all of a sudden they wake up in the morning and Facebook didn't change their name to their government name. That's a form of watching you. They want to know who you really are. They don't want to know that you're Mr. Good Time Charlie from such and such and such and such, keeping it real. No, they want to know that your name is Stanley Williams Mobley, staying at blah, 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 or whatever, whatever, whatever.
Exactly.
Well,
but that's a form, people probably don't know, but that's a form of Big Brother watching.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely.
I definitely have to say that I'm glad about the route that I took, because I've changed my name, but not
okay.
changed it legally. So
uh-huh.
when I present myself to people, I give them my alternative name. When
okay.
I don't have, the only thing that I have in my government name, aside from my legal documents, is my bank account, and that is empty.
Okay.
I stay off the grid. Nobody,
mm-hmm.
my ID, nothing has my legal address on it.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because if something comes about, I
well,
don't want to be the one that's the catch.
I'm gonna give y'all this information. I'm gonna give y'all this information. I was online one day, like a couple of days ago. It's a site called See What He Doing or something like that. And it said in the other, which you could take a person's phone number, put it
mm-hmm.
in the site, and it will revert. It'll reverse it. It give you their address, their original phone number, the zip code, where they stay, GPS location, how to get to their house.
Exactly.
Yep.
All from your cell phone number.
Exactly.
They're advertising this. Everybody go on Facebook and on the side where they got all the little advertisements, and you could do this, and you get this, and all the weight loss stuff. And it was right there. And I looked at it, and I was like, you mean to tell me that somebody can put my cell phone number in here, and it will show them where I'm at, where give them a GPS, and actually tell them what time I get up in the morning.
not just that. I found a site that whether you have a cell phone or not, you type in a person's name. I'm not going to give the site because I don't want nobody to know where I am. But if you find this site will put a red dot on exactly where you are.
Right. A tracker. Yeah.
When I found that out, I was scared out of my mind.
You know, I just went to that site, and I know where you are, Nazi.
No. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna keep it 600 with y'all. I'm out here in Fort Irwin, on the military base. It's more going on out here than y'all think it is. They know that I'm out here. They know that I'm out here on this phone. They're actually watching me. They know I'm out here on this phone. They track what goes on out here. They track what comes in and what goes out. Everything. You know what I'm saying? And my sister's in the military. You know what I'm saying? She's in the Army. I come out here and visit with my daughter and my nieces and this and the other and spend the holidays and stuff like that. This social media stuff is no joke anymore. Check this out. Real quick statistics before I get out of here. There are 500 million people that use Facebook every day. That's not even coming from America. Facebook is used from the third world countries and other countries, Sweden, London, this and the other, to where they have to pay to use Facebook. America is not even on the grid on using Facebook. Okay? We don't even show up because we're not even stepping our game up enough to network with these third world countries in Africa and this and the other. Now, my radio show I just got over in Africa, London, and I just got an email from some chick in Bolivia who can't even speak English, but she knows Unsigned Hype. Social media is something, if you use it right, use it for your gain. I use it for my promotion. You know what I'm saying? Getting the word out there when I'm doing things in this thing. I don't use it to try and find a mate. I don't use it to try and, you know what I'm saying, socialize in this thing and the other, because another thing that's going on is these people are getting on here and everything, and they're perpetrating a fraud. And when you meet that person, that's not who it is. That could be a mass murderer that you meet.
Oh, yeah.
You know
or
she's
locked up.
So, something. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is this. We just, you know, with this social media in 2014, oh, yeah, social media is about to go through the roof because that's where everything is going now. Radio is obsolete. Only thing is being really tracked right now is satellite radio. All these local radio stations and this and the other and these local radio personalities, they're out of here. UPS just announced that they got a new system where a little mini helicopter is going to come and deliver your packages.
Oh, yeah. Amazon.com did that.
Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come and ring the doorbell. A robot is going to come and bring your doorbell and give you your package. A robot.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
You see what I'm saying? Now, we're not even now. I know the gentleman on the other end going to understand when I say this. We're not even going to get into people think that that computer chip getting put in you is far down the road. No, player, they're doing that now.
Oh, yeah, yep. They started that with the animals.
You see what I'm saying?
They started
exactly.
with our dollars. They started with
you know
our
what I'm
dollars.
Saying?
And we're
yeah,
next.
With the $100 bill, with the strip and the $100 bill. That was a tracking system.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, then they went to the animals. Oh, if you don't want to you lose your animal, if he gets lost, put
yep.
this in him, and we can find him. Yeah, okay,
animal
then.
Animal testing
so,
at its finest.
Exactly. So it's like, well, we're going to test it out on the animal first. Like, we're stupid.
Well, you know what's funny is that they have in the casinos now, people wonder why they can win today, but tomorrow and the rest of the month they're on a losing streak. They
mm-hmm.
have visual recognition.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've known people to go to the casino and had a warrant. And they get arrested in the casino because
yep.
it's hooked up with the system of visual recognition.
It's hooked up with the system.
Yeah, so, you know, technology has gone a lot further. And when we talk about the book Animal Farm, Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
That was that book, I remember reading that in school. And it sounded so far-fetched, but it's real now. You know, Big Brother is really watching. You know,
yeah.
we wonder
yeah.
why a lot of the bigwigs get busted for child porn
uh-huh.
on their
uh-huh.
computers. It's because
uh-huh.
Big Brother. And guess uh-huh. what? They're not. They're being selective. There's
uh-huh.
so many of them that they can pick and choose.
Yep.
You know, it's uh-huh. not just one or two. It's a far wide range that,
yes,
you know, even when people were downloading music in the beginning
yeah.
and they then declared that they had to pay a fee, they
yep.
were able to go back and find those people and
yeah.
charge them
and,
a
yeah.
fee.
And charge them, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, you know, how does that happen when they don't mm-hmm. know your name, your move?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nazi
well,
says nobody can find her, but
well,
gee,
well,
I know where you are, Nazi.
The thing is, they take your email address, and then with your
yeah.
email address, they associated with your email address to your credit card, and
right.
they were able to track you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Perfect example. The stuff that just happened at Target Target got
yep.
hit for all these email addresses and all this credit card and this, that, and the other. That person is about to either go somewhere, either Mexico, Tijuana, and he's going to sell each one of them email addresses and credit card numbers, and he's about to clean up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
And they got the PIN numbers.
Yeah,
yep.
of course. They got
yeah,
everything.
They said that today. Target announced
yep.
that they even had the PIN numbers to their bank cards.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the way they got it was because of the PIN numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They say that the way Target's credit card machine is set up, it's whenever you put your PIN in versus signing your name, there's basically a gap in the system there where they open your credit card number, and when you're waiting for the PIN number to come through, you're opening the credit card number up, and it's able to be accessed from anybody who has access.
Right.
So when you type that PIN in, they already have your number by the time you type the PIN in. When you type
right.
it in, they have that too, and that's all they need.
The key
yeah.
to the door, yep.
Exactly, yeah, the key.
Big Brother's going further than that, though. I have a friend who told me today that she got hit with the Target stuff. And this evening, we went to the gas station. Her credit card declined.
Wow.
Chase had been hacked. Because of the money was taken. Because...
Uh-huh.
It wasn't because of the money. It's because credit card or Target told the credit card company to shut her credit card down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's
no reason that Target should have that much power as a third party representative of your card.
Exactly.
Well,
but see, they did that to Chase Manhattan Bank.
They
were only allowing people to spend $100 a day out of their account.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, this was right before Christmas, and the people were upset because, you know, they're spending more than $100, but that was their limit for the day.
That was their limit, yeah.
You know,
their limit for the day.
That's hard to live with if that's my
yes,
money.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I have a friend right now who has the IRS so far up his behind that they didn't shut down everything. They even shut down his wife's account. Okay? They shut down his wife. Hold on. Let me even take it even further than this. They done went through everybody in his family, all his daughters, sons, this, that, and the other. He's been with the IRS dealing with them right now going on about 2 months now and everything. They shut down every account that they thought that he had to deal with. So they went through his whole family.
And who was this? I went on screen call. Who did they shut down?
Now, it was a friend of mine. I got a friend of mine out here in Las Vegas
who owns
a record label, okay?
Oh.
And he's been having some problems. You know, he does certain work with Wall Street and things like that. So he's been having some problems. I don't know what went wrong, but they got down to where he got audited. When he got audited, they were like, things aren't coming up right. This credit card ain't matching this one. This credit card ain't coming matching up with this one. Now, I know Ken, and I know he wouldn't do nothing shady because that man is a child of God. I know that. It's just that the system then got a hold to him, and they didn't shut him down, and they shut his wife down. They then went and started shutting his kids' accounts down just so they can find out, where is this money coming from? Where is this money coming from? And he tells them, well, you know, I deal with the stock market and everything like that. He's presenting.
Hey, Batman, could you hold that thought
yes.
for a second? Let me include a caller because we're almost done. 347-757, state your name. Where are you calling from?
How you doing? This is Reginald Hargrove, Married to the Music Entertainment. I'm calling out of Fayetteville, North Carolina.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah,
and what's your thoughts on Fat Man, or what you've heard so far on the topic?
It's definitely a major topic because that's where the music is definitely going to, the internet radio. And like he said, like they were saying, as far as everybody overseas is major on as far as like the social media. they're picking up a lot. I mean, I've even gotten inboxes from Africa and some other countries. Just on the music. You know?
I pretty much
know it from that end. From anything overseas is big on music. Yeah, and what I've been trying to get people to understand is it's a lot bigger than it is here. This isn't really nothing here compared though.
Right, because basically this is their way of listening to music is over the internet rather than the radio waves.
We've
gotten some from Nigeria, and we've been playing that, you know, and it's funny because we're their lifeline. The internet is their lifeline to being able to reach out. You know, we think of telephones and, you know, we think of the radio, airwaves, terrestrial. Well, that's not their – they don't have that convenience because of the terrain or their location or what have you. So, you know, the internet is going to be the source of the music industry getting out to the people. You know, we just got to call it like it really is,
we got to keep it 600. And then say, listen, before I go, I'm going to expound on what my man said about the overseas. I got a song in my inbox one day from Jerusalem, okay? From Jerusalem, from a group that redid Wiz Khalifa's Black and Yellow. That was the hardest song that I ever heard in a different language. Okay? This is from Jerusalem. And I'm like, what they know about Black and Yellow and Wiz Khalifa? You'll be surprised. They went in the studio, went and did it, put their twist on it, wrapped it in their language, which, you know, Arabic, you know what I'm saying, Hebrew, things like that. That was the hardest song that I ever heard that I didn't understand.
It's Yiddish.
But I could feel what they were trying to say because, of course, everybody knows. You know, yeah, everybody knows black and yellow, you know what I'm saying? Well, they didn't took it and flipped it. And when I find it, I'm going to put it in you guys' inbox and let you hear it and everything. I was trying to get them guys to come on the show. They can't even speak English. All they know is America. Mm. And I'm like, do you guys know what type of song you just did? And they're going, they can't even speak English. And I'm going, wow, okay, then that right there showed me how far music, period, hip-hop goes. People need to give props where props is due. You got everybody sampling Marvin Gaye and this, that, and the other. Y'all, let's give it up. That's where it comes from.
That's right.
That's where it comes from. That's why James Brown died broke, but everybody sampled his music. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but everybody sampled his music. He died broke because some of his music wasn't protected in a certain way, so he can get
exactly. And then back then they didn't teach our young black artists about copyrights.
And that's what Hip Hop National is for.
You see what I'm saying? Publishing.
Our whole program
was
about that purpose.
I'm glad and God bless you that you got a program for that because. Just like I say, when I'm out there with them Crips and Bloods and this, that, and the other and all that, and we all up in the studio and everybody going hard on the mic and, yeah, this, that, and the other, yeah, man, that's tight, and everything. The first thing I ask them is go, okay, is this copywritten? And that shuts down the whole recording session.
Everybody looking at each other.
Yeah. So then I take them back to the basics and I go, okay, then, unplug, turn all that off. Go to the computer. Everybody need to go to the computer and sign up on BMI. It's only going to take 5 minutes, BMI or ASCAP or C-SCAP or whatever. This is when you know when an artist is for real. This is when you know when an artist is full of BS because everybody's like, oh, man, well, you know, I'm going to do it when I get home and this, that, and the other. Well, don't you want your points on this? Points. What do you mean points? Okay, you don't understand there's a point system. When we do music, things like that, get it copywritten. That way we could get our BDS scores, we get it signed, we get it registered, blah, 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 blah. They looking at me like I'm crazy. They looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, and it's like, That's sad. That's sad. We still got people doing a poor man's copyright, putting it in a letter and mailing it back to themselves.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Hey, guys.
Very well
put. This is Hip Hop
Nation. I praise the ones around here that do.
That
at least got that.
What station do you tune into?
Oh, Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National.
Exactly. Hip Hop National Radio, y'all. Happy holidays, man. I'm about to get up out of here. Whenever y'all do
happy
another
holidays.
Show, please send me a request like you did today, and I would love to be a part of your panel. If there's anything I can do, I'm going to promote you guys on my show tomorrow. Make sure everybody, start telling everybody to tune in. So make sure you post it to my wall, L.A. Mobley Jr. on Facebook.
Gotcha.
So God bless you, man.
God bless you, you guys. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Happy holidays.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.